Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, it's wonderful to be here. As you know, I just returned from this fabulous place in Mexico.
Ooh.
And my question is, does anyone know how I got there?
No.
I was invited, but why was I invited? And why did I stay at this beautiful place, which was absolutely free? You were close. Somebody was close. You know the answer. Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter.
That's what I've been doing wrong. I didn't say totally.
When you know those things, then things come into your life. This is abundance and prosperity. And it was certainly absolutely a deluxe vacation. Absolutely deluxe. So when you know those things about yourself, you can attract things into your life. So work on this. Constantly work on this. So the good news tonight is we live in a mental world. You know, we keep thinking we live someplace else. We keep judging by appearances. We keep wanting to know the answer to things. Why isn't my life working? Why don't I have what I want? Why isn't the money there? Why am I in poor health? Whatever the question is, whatever the difficulty is, whatever the situation is that you are in at the present moment, you were in that because of your thinking. This is a mental world. Once you realize that everything comes from your mind and from what you are thinking, you can change your life, because we can change our thinking. We can change our beliefs. We can change our attitudes. We can change our opinions and our viewpoints. These are things that we know that we can change. But we get all involved in the world out there, and the world tells us, oh no, it's because of this, it's because of that. And it's never because of anything that the world is telling you. It's what you are telling yourself. It's what you are thinking about yourself. Many times I've said you have to get a bigger and a better idea of God. Because if you're not getting what you want, your God is too small. You must throw that God out and get a bigger God. This thing that we call God is infinite. You can make it anything that you want. So why would you make it small? Why would you make your God small? So on the other hand, you must get a bigger, better idea of yourself. You must see yourself with the things that you want. Henry David Thoreau said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about yourself? Do you see yourself in the position that you want? Do you see yourself with the things that you want? And do you give yourself permission to have those things? Do you give yourself permission? Do you make yourself available for these things? You have to be able to make yourself available. And how do we make ourselves available? You cannot get the things that you want in life as long as you think that you are not worthy of them, that you do not deserve them, that you're not totally lovable, and that you don't matter. You have to know that you matter. You have to know those things. And then your life changes, because it's a mental world, and it starts here in your thinking. Remember, life is an inside job. It starts on the inside and works its way out. It starts on the inside. So check your thinking constantly. See what you're thinking about yourself, not about other people. We don't care about other people. Now, isn't that awful to say? We're supposed to care, aren't we? You see, if you don't care about yourself, how are you going to care about somebody else? But your wonderful little mind says to you, well, I don't think so much of myself, but I bet if I help this other person, I'll feel better about myself. No, you won't. You'll just have to keep helping another one and another one and another one and another one. And you're going to stay exactly the same. Take care of yourself. That's the whole idea, you know, to take care of yourself. If you are lifted up, you lift the rest of the world up. If you let your light shine, you give permission to allow other people to let their light shine. But we're not told that. But it always is going to be in your mind. It's a mental world. So stop thinking that it's anything else. Remember, everything in this teaching boils down always to one thing. Always to one thing. We live in a mental world. We live in a mental world. So when you think that you're trying to manipulate something on the outside of life, you cannot do that. The world will not change. But when you change, the world changes. Anytime that you change your perspective on anything, the outside of life changes. Life always remains the same as long as you think that it remains the same. And we hear that all the time from what we call race mind. We've always had this. We've always done this. This is the way people are. Well, that's not true. That's not true. And you can change yourself. People are always going to therapists. They're going here and they're going there for answers, to make themselves better, to figure things out. And I'm here to tell you that if you know that you live in a mental world, you have it figured out. Because as soon as you change your mind, your world changes. But we have to change our mind about ourselves. We have to change our mind about ourselves. We have to see ourselves for the magnificent beings that we are. You know, we have the little card. Do I have any up there? Well, it's on the back of my card anyway. All that I am is God, but I am God is. Well, you have to start making that real for yourself. You have to start knowing that. And then you can use this power. You can use this power. Emmett Fox, the mental equivalent. How many people here are still doing the mental equivalent? Okay. My question. Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. What are they? They're mental equivalents. They are mental equivalents. Once you have that, then it works on the outside. But first you have to have the mental equivalent of that. And then it matches itself on the outside.
It's true, it does work, because sometimes when I forget to do it, I can tell the difference. And I go,
Yes.
You can tell.
You absolutely can tell. So it's something we have to do every day. And we have to see ourselves as wonderful human beings every day. Regardless of what's going on out there. Regardless of what's going on in your own mind. You have to realize that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. And when it starts to throw up all that nonsense, you have to stop it. And you have to say, listen, I am in control here, not you. I know that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. Now go back to the nothingness from whence you came. And if you have to do that 100 times a day, you do that 100 times a day. Till your mind finally gives in and says, you're right. You're right. And that idea that we have, that we're no good, that we can't do things, that we're this, that, and the other thing, they're complete lies that you picked up in childhood, or you picked up by the mere fact that we live in thought atmospheres. And we certainly live in race mind. And we have to be able to know when race mind is trying to give us the wrong information. The wrong information. And we're getting better at that all the time, aren't we? You can hear that now. Rhoda told me tonight that she was talking with somebody who was constantly putting themselves down. And what did you say to them?
Said it'd be nice if you just said something nice about yourself.
Yes. And that it doesn't...
It's so hard to listen to people doing that.
See? It's so hard to listen to people anymore. Remember, you used to say, oh, you could match the other person. You think, you have it bad. Let me tell you how bad I have it. And then you went, didn't you? You went back and forth. Don't tell me. I know. Oh, ho, ho. And then we bring that up. Instead of saying, listen, can't you say something nice about yourself? And we can say something nice about ourselves. There is nothing wrong with any of us. There's nothing wrong with any of us. But we always want to grab on to that little thing instead of seeing the good. Seeing the good that we are. My friend Betty, I used to say to her, oh, I don't know this. She'd say, Dallas, why don't you look at all the things that you know instead of always looking at the things that you don't know? And when you do that, you find out, my goodness, I know quite a bit. I know quite a bit. So I started to focus on that. And that's what we have to focus on in our lives. The good things about ourselves. But we have to do that daily. Because the world erodes it away. And when we get with people that are negative, it starts to erode that away. And we start to believe that and fall right back in. Because there's more of them out there than there are of us. So we have to do this for ourselves. Would you, Thomas, please tell the class what you told me on Thursday night about your children?
Okay. This is kind of a modified thing, but okay. When we're driving in the car, I play Dallas's CD that's like always on rotation. So 80% of the time we're listening to Dallas, and then if they want to hear music, I'll put on music. So we have been listening to the radio, and then all of a sudden the CDs came on, and it's Dallas. And I go, oh, I'm going to put on a music CD, you guys. They go, no, Dallas. They're 11 years old and 8, okay? I'm thinking, wow. And I didn't want to force it on them, right? I wanted them to just hear it. It's just like background music when we're driving. But now, if it's a choice between Dallas or even their own CD that they made, they're like, Dallas. They'll get out of the car and they'll say, hey, Dad, stop the car, and we want to run home. You know, stop the car halfway home, and we're going to run down the hill and run over the street and then go over here. So I kind of follow them at 5 miles an hour while they're running down the street. And then I said, hey, you guys got to do something before you get out of the car. They'll jump out of the car and they go, I matter, I really, really matter, and they start running.
And children know this. And the more we teach children If we knew that when we were very small, we'd be much further ahead today. We'd be much further ahead. But you have to get those things down. So with that, let's do our matter dance. You don't know it, and you don't know it, but you'll learn it. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So, so important. It sounds silly. His children are getting it immediately. Let your mind absorb that and make that your belief system. Make that a part of yourself. And it does not matter what went before. Doesn't matter what your parents told you. Doesn't matter what authority figures told you. What matters always is what you tell yourself. We are all old enough now to start raising ourselves. And start putting the good thoughts into our thinking. Ernest Holmes said, learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. And you can learn to do that. Wouldn't that be nice that every time you had a thought that would come up, you matter, you're lovable, you're deserving, you're worthy. Instead of, oh, I don't think that's going to work, and you know, da-da-da-da-da, whatever your mind's doing to you. But it is a mental world. And we have to remember that. And we read all these books. We go to all these classes. And then we forget that immediately. Because the world is very convincing. And we start judging by appearances. Instead of staying in our mind and using our thinking to create our reality, to create the world that you live in. That's how it's done. Anything that you want, you get a mental image, you get a mental equivalent, and you can have that. So, worthy, deserving, lovable, and matter are mental equivalents. They're not just little rhymes. They're mental equivalents. Once you get that as a mental equivalent in your mind, you will see that manifest on the outside of life. It has to work that way. It just has to work that way. All right. I don't know how many people know that the classical station has now become country western.
I'm aware of that abundantly.
Well, I found the new station. But anyway, I was listening to the country western station. And I like western music, by the way. But it's completely race mind. And it's absolutely a soap opera with the songs and so forth. But if you know that, you can probably listen to it. But that isn't the thing. They had an advertisement, and it was this, about the Amber Alert. And it went, we had a little kid out at the taco stand, and I looked down, and he was gone. He yelled, Johnny, Johnny, where are you? Well, there Johnny was. We found him. Ooh, wow, wasn't that good. Now the announcer comes on, and it says, now just imagine losing your child and how bad you will feel. Imagine losing your child. That's total race mind. And then it's about the Amber Alert, and it's put out by the U.S. government and somebody else, this advertisement. Now, that doesn't surprise me that the government put that out. What you fear most always comes upon you. What you imagine comes upon you. How many times have you heard a family say, I always thought that would happen to him? I always feared that would happen to him. If you want to stop people from abducting your children, you think of them as safe. And you imagine them always being protected. That's the mental equivalent. But if the mental equivalent is imagine them disappearing, being this, that, and the other thing, there you got that. Do you see the difference there?
Or people saying, drive careful.
Yes. Yes.
Just, how else would you drive?
Yes.
Puts a lot of pressure.
Puts a lot of pressure. But can you see that that is a total race mind? They're asking you to imagine that your child has disappeared. And you want to imagine that your child is always safe. But it is always done unto you as you believe. And what you fear most will come upon you. So learn to change that.
We were just talking about going to Mexico earlier, and I don't know if this happened to you, but before I went, many people, including the person I was traveling with, okay, now don't walk out at night, and don't do, you know, better be careful when you go into town, and, you know, put your wallet in your front pocket, and I'm like, what are you?
Yes.
It drove me nuts.
Yeah, it drove me nuts.
I finally said, you know, are you just asking, you just wanted this to happen,
right.
I mean, I've walked around in New York City at night. You walk with a purpose and know what you're doing.
Right.
To be afraid,
right? Yes. I used to travel with people who had money belts and little clip it here and do this and their thing. They said, what are you doing with your money? I said, putting it in my pocket. Thank you very much. I'm not going through all this stuff. But we have these race mind things that apparently in Mexico they think every Mexican is a thief, you see. I didn't find any of them. You know, they were wonderful people. I didn't find them. Now that they may exist, but don't they exist here too? And they exist other places. Well, I don't put myself in those situations where people are going to steal things. Just don't want to do that. It's always the fear is what brings things to you. When you fear that somebody's going to steal your money, sure enough, they're going to steal your money because the universe doesn't know the difference. This thing that we call God is always giving you what you want. Always giving you what you want. Oh, I think I want mugged. Okay. You're going to get mugged. And then they turn around and blame it on God. Why would God let this happen? You let it happen. You let it happen because of your thinking. You let it happen because of your thinking. Experience does not create belief. Belief creates experience. And sometimes it happens so quickly that you think, oh, it was the experience that created this belief. You had to have the belief first before you could have the experience. You had to have the belief first. But people say, oh, this always happens to me. This is the same thing at all. Well, yes, and it's going to continue till you stop saying that. But they're absolutely convinced. But they say, but yet it does. But it does. And I keep saying, yes, and it's going to, and it's going to. You have to change your thinking. You have to get that thinking out of the way. We can all do it. That's the thing that's so great. We can do it. And it may take a little bit of effort, a little bit of diligence. The whole idea in life is to pay attention. To pay attention to notice what you're doing to yourself and to notice what you're saying to yourself. It just means to notice things. When they say somebody is aware, they're aware because they notice. They notice what's going on with them. And they notice what they're causing. You're always the cause onto your own experience. You cannot blame anything that happens to you on somebody else. You can't do that. Very tricky one, because people will argue, but they caused it. I had nothing to do with it. You had everything to do with it. You had everything to do with it. And when you're able to take that responsibility without any shame or guilt attached to it, and without your big fat ego attached to it, you will see how easy life is. You will see how easy life is. See, we struggle with life simply because we're always trying to prove ourselves right. Heaven forbid that somebody would prove us wrong. I'm not afraid to be wrong. What's the difference between being right and being wrong? Doesn't change what I think about myself, does it? I still know I'm worthy, deserving, lovable. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong has nothing to do with the way I feel about myself. But we think, oh, we have to be right all the time. We have to be right all the time. I think in the Course in Miracles, they say the only two choices are, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And it's always that choice. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And most people want to be right. They want to be right and they want to be miserable. I always pick happy. Always pick happy. You have to. So, look out for race mind. Know what it's doing to you. Subtly. And if you have any of those old residual things left over from your family that you think are tradition or you think are so great to hang on to because they came from your parents, get rid of them. Get rid of them. You know, if they work, keep them. If they don't work, get rid of them. You don't have to hold them anymore. They picked them up from somebody else. They picked them up from their parents. So now you can become your own parent. And you can raise your mind the way you want to do it. You can do that for yourself. Let's do a spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We're affirming or reaffirming what the universe already knows about us. I'll do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with the only power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. I was made from that power, therefore I know that I am one with that power. And if I am one with that power, I can use that power. And I use that power right here and right now to bring abundance and prosperity into my life, including money. I see prosperity and abundance everywhere. I know that money is constantly circulating in my life and that I always have a divine surplus, and I let that be so, and so it is. Is everyone still doing their money affirmations and still keeping up with that? You'll decide. When you go to the mailbox, are you looking for checks? Good. I said to the mail lady today, I said, are you putting a big fat check in there for me? She was loading the thing. She just laughed. I thought, oh, there'll be a check in there. Yes, got the mail and there was a check in there. So, always go to the mailbox looking for checks, not for bills. And you'll find out checks will start to come. But most people go to the mailbox thinking it's going to be loaded with bills. And it's loaded with bills. No. Eventually, you won't have any bills whatsoever. Aren't you still demonstrating prosperity? You just paid off your truck.
Yeah.
There.
6 months early.
And you only had it 6 months?
I said 6 months earlier.
6 months early. Look at that. See? These things can be done. These things can be done. So do them. Do them. Always. Let's go back a moment to this idea that we live in a mental world. Does everyone understand that? Do you realize when I say that, what that means? That means your total life is taking place in your mind, in your thinking. The things that you see on the outside of life are merely trappings, but they all came from your mind. They all came from your mind. And if you don't like what you see out there, you change your mind. Because we do not see with our eyes. We see with our minds. We see with our minds. I had a client the other day telling me the story. He couldn't find his keys. They were gone. Couldn't find his keys. They were gone. Till finally he remembered what is his by right of consciousness must be returned to him. As soon as he did that, he was able to see the keys on the kitchen table. The keys were on the kitchen table all the time. But if you think they're gone, you will not be able to see them. How many people have searched for something, finally gave up searching for it, opened the box that they had already gone through, and there they thing was that they were looking for. And they say, oh, little fairy came in and threw that in there, or whatever they call those things that run around. It's your mind. You see with your mind, not with your eyes. That's why when you change your thinking, your world changes. Your world changes. When you change your thinking, and especially when you change your thinking about yourself, when you change your thinking about yourself, and with this thing about money and prosperity and abundance, you must see it everywhere and know that you're a part of it and that it can be yours, and then you will have that. You will have that. You have to see it in your mind first. You have to see it in your mind first. What is that saying? I'll believe it when I see it. No, you'll see it when you believe it. You'll see it when you believe it. So start to see yourself differently. Start to see yourself the way you want to be. If you want to be the actor, if you want to be the successful business person, whatever it is that you want, see it and start becoming it. We move forward into that vision by keeping it in our mind as a mental equivalent. And you hear this constantly with success stories. You hear it. People will always say, well, I envisioned that. I always knew I could do that. I always knew that this was possible. And that's what you have to know about yourself. That anything you want is possible. Because we live, move, and have our being in this thing that we call God, in the mind of God, in cosmic power, in the universe. Call it anything you wish. But it will work for you. It has to work for you. It's an immutable law. It works for everybody. It shows no favorites whatsoever. So see yourself the way you want to be, not the way you are. The way you want to be. and then move in to that beingness. Just move into it. But don't be convinced by the world and all this stuff that you see around you. All this stuff that you see around you is an effect. It has no causation. It has no causation to it whatsoever. This chair cannot cause that table. It also cannot cause me to get hemorrhoids. I could sit here till doomsday and not get hemorrhoids. If I get hemorrhoids, it's because I'm thinking. Because I'm thinking that. How many people do you know that say that gives me a pain in the rear? You say that long enough, you'll get a pain in the rear. Yes. The body has no causation of its own. The chair has no causation. The table, the rug. What is the only thing it has causation?
Mind.
Mind. The mind of God, which is in each and every one of us. Because there's only one mind. There's only one mind. And it has the causation. In religious science, we refer to it as first cause. It's always first cause. Now, there are such things as secondary causation. But it's only because we make secondary causation first cause. Because we haven't stepped back far enough. And we stop. We stop at secondary causation. The medical profession loves to stop at secondary causation. And they make a big business out of it by telling you that you inherited it, that it's your genes, that it's this, that, and the other thing. And that is what's causing your problem. That's what's causing your problem. That's secondary causation. God is always first cause. Always first cause. So when you go back to first cause, you wipe away secondary causation. You just wipe it away. And you go to that. So when you run into difficulties, when you run into blocks in your life, I can't get the right agent. I can't do this. I can't do that. Agents are secondary causation. You must go to first cause. You must go back to God. Or say, well, this is the way this works. This is the way. Yes, that's the way it works for you. It does not work that way for me. Thank you. On Friday, I was in an optical store. They had these beautiful, and I should have brought it next week, leather eye cases on the counter in a basket. And I said to the woman, oh, are these free? And she said, well, no, they're not free. She said, they're for sale. And I said, well, I want one. And she said, okay, you can have one. For you, it's free. I didn't even need it. But I took it anyway. You see, I always go in with an attitude that somebody's going to give me something. And they usually give it to me. You've been shopping with me, haven't you? Sometimes they give it to me just to get me out of the store. They say, oh my, get rid of him. But you have to think about that, this kind of stuff. Money is secondary causation. You think you need money to do things. I didn't need any money to go here. Now, I paid for the plane trip, but everything else was paid for. And it was a deluxe vacation. That's abundance and prosperity. That's abundance and prosperity. Because I know that money is never the issue. And that money is secondary causation. If you want something, go to first cause. Don't say, oh, I have to save the money to get that. I say, like that. I don't know how to do it, but I know you do. So, get busy. So you can say that to God. Get busy. No. God doesn't have much to do. No. Okay. And you can laugh. Don't take all this stuff so seriously. Everyone thinks, you know, I say things. People are always waiting for a thunderbolt to come down and take me. Well, that thunderbolt will come years ago because I can say some outlandish things. But this thing that we call God, how many times have I said, is not only mighty, God is useful. Learn to use God. We have a power here that wants to give us everything. And we don't use it. We're either afraid to use it, or we just don't use it. And most of the time, we don't use it because we don't think we're worthy to do it, or deserving, or lovable, or that we matter. So why should we use this? Why should we use this thing? Use it. My goodness, if it can make your life easier, wouldn't you use it? You know, wouldn't you use it? Look at all the things you get to make your life easier. All these contractions that are out there to make your life easier. You have no problem with that. But when you say, oh, here's a power in the universe that can do all this for you, you go, oh, I don't know. I think I'll use the vacuum. No, use this power. Use this power to get what you want. See, I have a little secret to tell you. This power is the only thing that can do it for you. This power is the only one that knows how to do it. See, you don't know how to do it. Your mind will tell you, oh, yes, you do here. You get 4 years degree, and then you go over here and you do this, that, and the other thing. But it's God that's doing everything. God is always working in, as, and through you. So let this power work even more through you. And the way to have it work through you is to have a mental equivalent. That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Can you imagine that in your consciousness? And then God consciousness, right through you. Right through you. But if this law, this thing that we call the law of cause and effect, this thing that's cosmic power, comes through this vessel. And this vessel is not clean, that doesn't have the right mental equivalent. How's it going to give it to you? How's it going to give it to you? We go, oh yes, I want $100,000 a year. I see myself with that $100,000 a year. I can get that. I can grasp that. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, I see that. Then you, the next thought is, a lot of poverty in the world. You've just negated that whole thing. You've just negated that whole thing. Poverty is not what you're after. You're after abundance. You're after money. Remember what Jesus said. The poor will always be among us. And he meant the poor in consciousness. And the poor in consciousness is always going to be with us. And there's nothing we can do about that. Except lift ourselves up and show them, look, I can do it. And if I can lift myself up, you can lift yourself up. But we can never drag anybody up. They fall right back down. And you see that. That's why the welfare system doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because they try to put people up without telling them, first of all, that they're worth it. You know, they don't tell anybody that. So get these things as mental equivalents in your thinking constantly, every minute of every day. And when you see yourself sliding off, pull yourself back. Don't get angry or mean. Forgive yourself and say, oh, sorry, made a mistake. I love myself. Okay, I'm up and at 'em. And you go right back. You go right back to that. And it will absolutely change your life. Absolutely change your life. All done with your thinking. It's done in your mind. It's a mental world that we live in. And that's the only thing you have to remember. Only one thing to remember. Why isn't this working? Whoops, mental world I'm living in. Why don't I have the money? Whoops, mental world. Why am I sick? Whoops, mental world. Why don't I have a relationship? Whoops, mental world. One thing, mental world. Why is that so difficult for us to grasp? Why is that so difficult for us to grasp? Over the weekend, I watched the History Channel. They're doing a series on books banned from the Bible. You'd be surprised how many books have been banned from the Bible. But in this one particular thing, they ask Jesus, how do you do the soul, and how do you know the soul, and how do you know the spirit, and all that. And the answer was, through the mind. Through the mind. It's always through the mind. People have known that for centuries. Religious people have known that for centuries. But they don't want to talk about that. It's not a conspiracy. They just don't want people to know. Because if you knew that it's your mind that's doing everything, and it's with your mind that you can forgive yourself, where would these institutions be? Where would these institutions be? You are the only authority in your life. And everything that comes into your life because of your thinking. And if you don't like what's in your life, change your thinking. Don't try to change the situation. Don't get all upset and hate yourself and hate other people and hate this or whatever you're doing. Say, oops, I'm going to change my thinking because I know it's a mental world. And even if you look out there and you can't quite convince yourself, just keep saying mental world, mental world, mental world. It will eventually sink in that you are causing it. That you are causing it. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.